Happy Monday, babies. I know this is a little bit late and I love you and thank you so much for your patience because done is the new perfect. I'm not going to beat myself up for this today because I literally haven't been home and haven't done the things, but I committed to this. We're back on schedule. We're going to do the Monday through Thursday. So here we are. And if you're new here, this is the Listen Bitch podcast with your host, Brandon Lynette. Welcome. It's your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts. Unleash your soul and learn to co-create a life that you love. As you become the writer of your own story, in this podcast, you're going to find inspiration, practical tips, and the sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You're in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. And it is Microdose Monday. I know everybody's cheering like, yay. I do have a lot of people that microdose that are listening to this. So I'm excited because the audience is growing. I'm actually in a group. I didn't start it. One of my people started it. And I've been reading about a lot of testimonies, but that's not what we're not going to do the testimonies yet. I think I'll save that for next week. I want to talk about addiction. I want to talk about addiction because I'm fighting one. I think I'm day 17, maybe, off of sugar. Okay. And I'm sure I've shared this with you before. I used to drink a lot, like a fifth a day, a lot. Okay. Very toxic. When I quit drinking, no big deal. Cold turkey, didn't touch it for a couple years, you know. And I'm even at the point where I can have the occasional casual, like my daughter's going to turn 21. We're probably going to drink. We, you know, just random things. So it hasn't been an absolute thing for me, but it also isn't what it used to be. So I could kick that very easy. Like if I never had another drink, I wouldn't be missing anything. I feel that. I know that. It's just there's no desire. I do think psilocybin helped me with that the second time around. But when it comes to sugar, okay, it fucks me up. I'm a mess. Super moody coming off of it, agitated, irritated, everything bothered me. My clothes on my skin bothered me. Okay. I mean, it was not pretty. Getting through that, I thought, oh, this is easy. But then there's all this temptation, and I'm fighting now that inner dialogue, the inner dialogue about like, it's fine, it's just whatever. And I'm going to tell you guys, and people are like, don't deprive yourself. You're just going to binge eat and all the things. And it's like people are trying to convince me that I should still eat sugar. And I'm telling you, that is very toxic. Okay. You don't tell a heroin addict to just keep shooting up the heroin so they don't want it more later. Okay. Sugar is heroin for some people, and it has to be like a cut and dry thing. You know, I keep telling myself we're going to do 90 days, which means I'm making a birthday cake this week and I'm not going to try it. And it's so crazy for me. That's like the second one this year that I'm doing this with. But yeah, it's that temptation. And then it's people in my ear. Like one time isn't going to hurt you. Yes, it is. That could be the time that, you know, I just give up on my discipline and my will, okay? And this is what happens because sugar is I quit drinking and I went to sugar. That's it. And I think a lot of people, that's why I want to talk about addiction today, because I think a lot of people try to kick one habit and then they trade it into, you know, be addicted to something else. Like I stopped drinking, but suddenly I was eating sugar every day, you know? Maybe you're going to quit smoking cigarettes, but now you're starting to smoke weed every day instead. Replacing one habit with another isn't solving the root cause of addiction. And I have to sit in this space of like, you know, I worked at the restaurant Sunday, I believe I was there. Oh no, it was Saturday. So I'm working and there are these turtle brownies on the counter. And so I call the girls and I'm like, you bitches have to eat these. I can't, I don't want to be in here with this. Then I open the fridge and there's these triple layer specialty cakes. One of them was a churro cake, one's a Black Forest cherry cake. I mean, they are phenomenal. And I've had cakes from this bakery. They are like probably in the top 10 of cakes I've ever had. Okay. Like they're really good. So I'm sitting with that because I'm thinking, you know, all of a sudden I tell my friend, I'm like, oh my God, I just have to drink some vodka so I'll stop wanting the sugar. Like I had an urge to drink and I don't have urges to drink. You know, it's, I've been working so hard on that emotional regulation that there is never an urge, but I was very triggered and I was like, I have to drink. I'm like, no, you have to sit with this. Like, why do you want the sugar? What is it going to do for you? You need something in this moment. And so that's what I sit with now. And like even today, you know, I had my scrambled eggs and breakfast sausage and I just kept having this idea for 3 days now. I'm like, I really want sugar. I want sugar. The temptation is everywhere. So I have to sit with this. Like, we're not trying to replace another habit. I want to get into the feelings of why I feel like I need it because I know it's toxic for me. I know it's toxic for my mood. It's a toxic habit. So I'm looking for something outside of myself, you know? And this is what happens when you move from one addiction to another. You're just trapped in this box with a slightly different wrapper, you know? As long as you're addicted, you're not free. So the truth is, you guys, and that's why this is Microdose Monday, because you need to sidestep the hamster wheel to gain perspective. And if you want to get off the hamster wheel, this is what happens when you microdose, because you are not swapping addictions. You're healing the underlying tie. And it's, today's not a microdose day for me. Yesterday wasn't a microdose day for me. And I think even that, I know I need to, you know, set up the schedule on the days where I could possibly be triggered so I can set that intention, right? It's not about, a lot of people use willpower methods and I am for the most part doing that. Okay. A lot of you know that I have a weight loss thing that takes sugar cravings and it does. It's phenomenal. It takes the sugar cravings, but I wanted to do this for myself based on my willpower, just to kind of rebuild some trust that I broke within myself. Okay. I'm doing it raw dogging it pretty much. Okay. And the psilocybin, what it does is that it's reducing my anxious feelings. It lowers my defenses and it gives me that time to be more clear. Like it shifts my perspective. So, you know, the hounds of addiction stop chasing me and I could be free from this without replacing something else. The perspective is that I can sit with that moment of saying, okay, what am I looking for outside of myself? What am I trying to escape? What am I trying to feel? Because that's what sugar was for me. It was like feeding an emotion or feeding a missing part or an empty space inside my soul. You know, it's, we want to get off the hamster wheel. And psilocybin doesn't work like all the willpower methods. You know, you just get this grace to gently confront and work through the emotional ties that literally fuel whatever addictive behaviors that you have. And the truth is, I mean, kicking addictions is notoriously challenging because it has become psychological, it has become physiological, and then you've got environment shit bombarding you as well. So when you're addicted to something, and that's why I tell people sugar is like the worst drug for me, because I know it messes with my brain chemistry. I know it messes with my brain structure. So here we've got, you know, the neurobiological factors, substances or behaviors, whatever your vice is, it creates a strong neurochemical dependency. So it makes it hard for my brain to function normally without it. And so when my brain and my heart aren't communicating, because my heart is like, man, I love you, B. I love you. I want you to get off the sugar because I just want to feel good. My brain's like, no, bitch, this is what we've been doing. Eat the cake, right? That's what's happening. And then I'm like not feeling good. And I need something else outside of myself to kind of either ignore the fact that I'm not connected or ignore the fact that I'm not ready to face the emotions of what I'm searching for. Or for obvious reasons, maybe I just don't know how to fix my brain chemistry. How do I rewire that? And addictions are most always intertwined with emotional and mental health shit. Okay. It's the coping mechanism for stress, for trauma, underlying problems. So it's hard to address the addiction without dealing with these issues. And then you've got, you know, your behavior patterns, because you have this becomes your default mode network because you have a habitual pattern of behavior that is ingrained over time. So that's what's happening. Your brain is in DMO. Breaking these patterns, it requires significant effort, okay? And it's hard when they're so embedded. And you know how to break up those patterns? Microdosing psilocybin. The science has proven that it breaks up that communication channel. So all of your old default mode network, it's getting, the bridge is breaking. And new communication pathways are forming after you've had a chance to sit with this, you know? And I couldn't even imagine. I've been very blessed with, you know, different experiences of different addictions that I've had over my lifetime. I've never had the physical dependence with anything like I have sugar. And that is like very uncomfortable feeling, okay? I can't say what it's like to withdraw from, you know, heroin or whatever someone's vice is. I've never had a physical withdrawal symptom from drinking. I mean, I've never had a fucking hangover, you know? So it was very different with my body, very different with my reaction. I can quit and nothing happens. Most alcoholics, if they quit cold turkey, they'd be dead, right? Like, bodies aren't just meant to quit the cold turkey. So there are physical things and it's intense, it's uncomfortable. So who wants to quit? Who wants to suffer through that? You know? And then you've got constant triggers, which that's what fires up those super powerful cravings. But when you're microdosing, stops it dead in its tracks. Dead in its tracks. And when I say psilocybin and say microdosing, you're not tripping, okay? It's just a teeny tiny minuscule amount of the magic mushroom. And it alters your brain function because it's creating new neural pathways, okay? This is where, you know, psilocybin promotes neuroplasticity. That's where you're forming new connections. Your brain is reorganizing itself and it helps people break free from any entrenched addictive behaviors. Any. And I know there's a lot of studies being done now for people with drugs and alcohol that have been able to do this and quit cold turkey. And psilocybin is not something that you feel high from. It doesn't have addictive properties. It doesn't, you know, you're not tripping balls, okay? But you do have a shift in perspective and you have like a new way of being. So you've got different insight and that's how you can stop and step back. That's how I've been able to question myself to reassess my relationship with my vice, my relationship with sugar. How can I look at this? How can I look at this different? What is it that I really need on the inside? What am I not dealing with? You know, and I'm open to asking these questions and I'm ready to work on whatever it is that I need. But that's it. The power of psilocybin for breaking habits is because it reduces activity in that default mode. Everything that's been programmed, whatever's associated with that self-referential thinking and the ruminating, reducing that, it helps you break the cycle of repetitive and negative thinking that accompanies addiction. Your default mode network of how you're going to feel. You know exactly how you're going to feel after that first hit of weed, which I don't know if that's an addiction. I don't smoke weed, so I can't say if people really get addicted to that, but you get it. It breaks up the default mode network and then it enhances like your emotional processing. It facilitates that emotional processing, the introspection. It allows people to confront and work through whatever underlying issues are contributing to your addiction. It's pivotal. Because then you can get to the root cause of the addiction. And let's be clear, I have moved from one addiction to the next. I've done that. And, you know, part of my growing relationship with myself, part of me stepping into my potential is saying, I'm not doing that anymore. That's it. I'm letting go of sugar and I'm not bringing something else into the space. And that's a big deal. And now, because I have psilocybin in here, you know, it increases my openness to new things, new ideas. It makes it easier to be more receptive to the changing and it gives me new ways of coping. I get to the root cause of why I have such an addictive personality. And it's an emotional journey. Absolutely. But with that perspective and with how I feel, the connectedness I have from microdosing, where I do feel like I'm a part of something bigger. All of a sudden, I really matter. I really matter. My story matters to someone else. Me conquering this, there's one person out there that is watching me and like, fuck yeah, because I do this, they're going to be able to do it too. That's it. There's a lot of research on this. Don't take my word for it. I want you guys to just check it out for yourself. But if you're open to trying the microdosing, if you're ready to give that psilocybin a try, if you have a crazy habit that you're trying to kick, we need to talk. I will literally help coach you to get your perfect dose, help you figure out what to expect, you know, what it is to set your intention, your willingness to be able to sit with your feelings. You guys, and it's not ruminating. It is literally just like, okay, I'm really craving the sugar and I'm freaking out right now, freaking out on the inside, like my body's going crazy and I just know if I just eat some cake, I'll calm down, right? It's like, no, why are you going crazy? And I just sit with myself for a minute. And I hug myself through it. And I think about how I would feel afterwards. It slows me down. It makes me groggy, makes me moody, makes me cranky, makes me reactive. It just makes me not a good person. Wild, right? You get to start seeing yourself in that space. And what matters more to me than that immediate, like, yeah, give me that fix, is the fact that I made who I want to be in my potential bigger than who I was yesterday. I don't want to be the same Brandon a year from now. I want that freedom from addiction. I want to be able to, you know, have cake someday without it setting in a frenzy of just like, it's very, very toxic. I don't know if I'm downplaying it, but whatever, it's worse than you think. Okay. It's a toxic thing for me. So I don't know, babies. That's it. Microdosing has given my life a lot of benefit, and I'm excited to start sharing some of the, I'm getting permission for some of the testimonies in my group. And if you have some, I definitely want to hear it. I think it's important that we share our personal experience, and yours is going to be different than mine. You know, I don't have to name names. If you just gave me permission to share kind of what you've seen, how you've experienced, and what your reality is now, what it's like when you have these feelings. I think definitely the fact I don't ruminate anymore is huge for me. I'm not just like stuck on repeat in default mode, robot status. I'm like actually creating, willing to be able to do the introspective, you know, examinations, being able to sit with myself when I'm a little uncomfortable. When's the last time you've done that? Like just sat with yourself when you were uncomfortable. Think about an addiction. Maybe it's alcohol. You got a glass of wine in front of you and you're sitting there and you're just uncomfortable because you can't reach it. You can't get it. It's locked in a glass. That feeling, that like frantic frenzy of like you just need it, the panic, all of that. When's the last time you just sat with that to let it pass, to just talk yourself through it, to say, listen, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Wait for the next moment. Do the next right thing. Go for a walk, come back, see if you still want it, you know, little things like that. But I love you guys, and I will see you tomorrow.